You're listening to the Circle and Rectangle Show, Australia's newest A-League and W-League based footballing podcast, hosted by two blokes with exceptional footballing knowledge, mediocre footballing ability, and zero podcasting experience.
So I guess we should probably start the show with apologies to Tomer Hamed of Wellington Phoenix for our small mistake with our goal of the week randomizer segment on last week's show.
In my defense, I just went off the stats, and apparently David Ball scored the second goal, but no, it was Tomer Hamed.
Yeah, thanks, Ailey.
The randomizer didn't lie, though, all right? The randomizer didn't lie.
We got the goal right. It was definitely goal of the week. We just may have messed up the names. But that's not our fault. Again, we'd like to pass the blame on this show, and that goes to the Oz Football app.
I think mine was Footbin, so, or Footmob, one of those.
See, it's just everyone got it wrong, so we're not the only ones. But yeah, congratulations, Tommy Hamed, your goal of the week last week, which was a team goal. I mean, it was about the team, so the final product was pretty good. But yeah, apologies to everyone in Wellington, everyone in Wollongong, and Tommy Hamed yourself. It was a great goal, and we got it wrong. But
don't say where it was. Definitely you. You did all this.
I do come up with a lot of the goal of the week stuff.
Yep.
That's why I'm always right.
Incorrect.
Looking at you, A-League admins. Mm-hmm. Always right. So yeah, we'll get on to this week's action. Some pretty big games. W League has come to an end, the regular season, so we know who the finals are. Ended thrillingly last night with a chase for the title. We'll get into that a bit later, but I'll hand it over to you and we'll go through the A-League results for this weekend. Some pretty awesome games.
Results are in.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the results are in again. We started off with a commanding win for Melbourne City on last Friday night. 4-1 victory over the Western Sydney Wanderers, even though Wanderers started the started the scoring through Ibini in the 21st minute. But it was then Melbourne City show with Craig Noon scoring a brace, Andrew Naboo scoring his first in Melbourne City colours, and Jamie McLaren in the 92nd minute, making it 6 on the trot for him. Can he see this goal-scoring record going? I hope so. Be really good to see. But yeah, I think it just pretty much shows that I think Melbourne City are probably the team to beat this year. They are phenomenal. Yep. Absolutely outstanding stuff. Jamie, thoughts? Agreements?
Man, since Naboo's returned, they've just become a different team. Their attack is so much more fluid. Like you said, McLaren 6 goals in a row. He hasn't not scored a goal since the loss to Newcastle in match week 7. Like, that's how long this has been now. Will he continue tonight in the battle of the other Melbourne teams, whatever, East versus West?
The Melbourne teams that are winning somewhat? Yes.
Yeah, will he score tonight? Good chances. He's just a phenomenal goal scorer. But yeah, no, a huge record, and they are definitely the team to beat this year.
Yeah, them and Adelaide are going really strong. I think they're both now 6 wins on the trot.
Yep, Adelaide with a massive win this week.
Yeah, we'll just get on the Adelaide one later. But yeah, second game of the match week, we saw top of the table Central Coast Mariners, I'd say, slip up against bottom runners Melbourne Victory in a 1-1 draw. McManaman opened the scoring for Melbourne in the 20th minute before Urena equalised for Central Coast in the 31st. That's 2 draws and a loss in their last 3 games. Is this the slip some were hoping wasn't going to happen?
Seems like it. I know when we had Carly Adner on way back towards the start of the season, I made it suggested, are they going to be able to hold on to this form? They've done it a lot longer than I thought, but now, slipping up against Melbourne Victory at home, maybe this is where they start to slip off. Maybe the fairy tale run is not over. They'll make the finals, but starting to get a bit shaky. Adelaide, game in hand, 1 point behind. So
and Melbourne City, 2 games in hand, 2 points behind.
Yeah, we will see a change to the Bunnings live ladder.
Most likely, I would assume, yeah. The Gorilla ladder update. But yeah, then we move on to the Perth Glory versus Newcastle Jets fixture. Bremwell scoring in the 17th minute for Perth, and then Lachman scoring in the 24th before Jonathan Aspropotamatis, received his second yellow and marching orders in the 35th minutes, and Newcastle unfortunately couldn't get their 2 goals back against a 10-man Perth Glory, even though Roy O'Donovan scored in the 59th minute. They go down 2-1 to Perth Glory, and it's been one of those seasons for Newcastle.
Yeah, it has. They've played really good in a lot of games and haven't got the results. They started to win a few, but it's just back to putting out the full 90. Congratulations to Bremwell and Lanchman. Their debut goals for Perth. The first one was actually particularly good with the little dummy in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who it was that did the dummy, but it was a neat play down the right-hand side from Follaroli to turn it in. Great finish. And Roy Donovan's goal was amazing. First time in the air, off a volley, top of the foot, over the keeper, but they had their chances. Stamatolopoulos had a chance towards the end to tie it. They easily could have won this game with their man advantage, but yeah, just another Newcastle performance that's just not getting the wins.
No, it's just not producing the points. which is pretty unfortunate. As you said, a lot of games played well by Newcastle, but yeah, just not coming away with the points that they need. But we move on in the fixtures. Wellington Phoenix in that lovely red kit at home, Wynn Stadium, with the hill finally opened up to full capacity. Good to see fans out in the hill. And they've come up against New Boys MacArthur FC, where they've unfortunately gone down, so it's their first loss in the red kit. Their superstitions just always seem to fail right at the end, don't they?
Just when people start noticing them.
Yeah. I know, it's ridiculous. But Jean Rowe scoring in the 65th minute for MacArthur FC to get them the 3 points. But then we move on to probably the final match of the week, and it is the final match of the week, so not probably, but Adelaide United coming up 1-0 victory over Sydney FC with Craig Goodwin.
Connor.
Craig Goodwin scoring in the 76th minute via a penalty. Pen every day of the week, so I'm not complaining.
Yep.
Mainly because it was also against Sydney FC, so I'm not complaining. But yeah, that's Adelaide again, like six on the trot. They're up in second now, and Sydney FC have been dominant for years now, and they are slowly sliding down the ladder. And for me, I can't wipe the smile off my face.
This was a game I actually thought Sydney FC were going to bounce back to form. You know, going up against Adelaide, who were five in a row, I kind of expected them to come out and win the game, sort of put a message down. But like you said, Adelaide played really good. Maybe didn't really deserve to win the game. Gauchi, the goalkeeper for Adelaide, probably the only reason they didn't lose the game. But
phenomenal.
Adelaide look good, man. They have strike weapons all over. They've just bought in Wande. So he's just adding to their squad. Goodwin's come back. He's amazing. Stephen Mork's having a season of all seasons. Their defense looks really good. Gauchi in goals looks like a future superstar. He's climbing the ladder of the rankings for goalkeepers in the A-League. They're, like we said, them and Melbourne City look like the teams to beat right now. Just flying high in good form. I mean, I just don't see anyone beating them at the moment.
No, not at the moment.
I see Adelaide being more shaky than Melbourne City, but they're both really quality teams.
So yeah, when they come up against each other, it will be a clash for the ages. But yeah, that was the A-League results this week. Spreading out games this weekend for the Easter break. So we've got two games tonight, I believe.
Yeah. We got 9 games this match week, so including a big blue.
Yeah, ooh, there we go.
But, massive game.
Massive game starting tonight with Melbourne City versus Western United. So clash of the Melbourne teams.
And the Mariners versus Adelaide, the late 7 o'clock one. Look forward to sit at work and watch it all night, so enjoying it.
But that's the A-League. We'll move on with the penultimate round of the W League, where some big fixtures, some big movings on the table, and yeah, it came down to a last game clash for the title. Jamie, please take it away.
So it all started with Sydney FC taking on Canberra. Sydney FC a win to wrap up the title. Unfortunately, Canberra with an amazing performance ended up 0-0. Canberra probably the better team on the night. Michelle Hayman had a few chances to score. Sydney FC just, you know, off a 3-week break, looked a little bit lethargic, didn't really have the legs in it. There was a lot of cramping towards the end of the game. So credit to Canberra. They booked their spot in the finals with that. Next game we move on was Melbourne City at home to Perth Glory. It was Riley Dobson's farewell game. She's retiring. We'll talk about it a bit later on the show why. Great reasons. But she scored the first goal in the 63rd minute on a great corner routine. She just found the right spot in the middle of the box. And after her header, she found the rebound and scored the goal. Alex Chidiak scored the second one to put Melbourne City up 2-0. She's had a pretty quiet season probably for her standards, but still a good season nonetheless. I look forward to her developing next year. And then our girl, Patricia Sharalambos, Patty, scoring for Perth Glory in the 95th minute. You know, saving a little bit of face. They really weren't at the races the whole game. So good to see our girl, Patty, get on the score sheet. Just need to get her on the show to make it official that, you know, she's the show's W League star. The next game, this was just a phenomenal game, really. It's not often you see Melbourne Victory on the positive side of a 6-0 thrashing, especially this year. But Melbourne Victory 6, Perth Glory 0. Kind of a quiet first half, only 2 goals in it, scored by Ayres in the 25th and the 35th. But then Bunge in the 48th, straight out of the second half, straight out of halftime. Catherine Zimmerman in the 52nd, and then who I think is going to be a future Matilda superstar up there with the likes of Sam Kerr, Caitlin Ford, Kyra Cooney-Cross, gets a double in the 60th and 76th just to absolutely bury Perth Glory. I like the goalkeeper, Lily Oldfield from Perth. I think she's really good reflex-wise with her saves. Distribution is pretty good too, but, I mean, you got a feel for a goalkeeper in the last game of the year for them to go down 6-0. It's very unfortunate, disappointing for Perth, but great performance by Melbourne Victory. They knew what they had to do, win, and they're in the finals, and they won. They absolutely absolutely won in a big way.
I'd say that was a win, yeah. Very close contest, very close.
Close, yeah. It was tight, but unfortunately for Adelaide, that means they finish out of the finals on goal difference alone in their most successful season on W League record. So unfortunate for them. Just couldn't pick up a few points early in the season when they started really slow. But moving on to the next game, Brisbane at home to Newcastle. It was Emily Gelnick's and Claire Polkinghorne's farewell games, so they won't be playing in the finals for Brisbane, and they went out strong with a 3-0 win over Newcastle. Torpy scored the first goal. Elmina Gelnick then capped off her farewell game for the Roar with a nice goal of her own, and then Mariel Hecker scored a good goal to round it off. And I guess for Claire Polkinghorne, no goal for her, but a clean sheet for a defender is just as good in her farewell game. So, good performance for Brisbane. They booked themselves, they actually put themselves top with that result. We're waiting on the Big Blue, the last game of the round, to play out to see if they actually took the title. But, booked themselves a home final. They'll be very happy with that. They'll have a huge crowd up there next week as they take on the team that they'll be playing.
That was a good result for Brisbane. Yeah, as you said, put them top of the table. And, it came down to the Big Blue. 1 point for Sydney FC clinched them the title.
Yep.
Or 3 points for Melbourne Victory clinched them the title.
Yeah, which is, it's what you want in the final day of the season. Three people to potentially win it. Only one's coming out on top. And unfortunately for Melbourne Victory and Brisbane, Sydney FC returned to form with an absolute quality performance against their biggest rivals in Melbourne Victory. A lot of hatred between Sydney FC fans and Melbourne Victory fans and the clubs themselves. There was a lot of hype for this. Sydney FC 2, goals to club legends and W League legend in general, Teresa Pilias. I would say she's probably one of the top two Sydney FC players in both men's and the women's, up there with Alex Bross. She scored a phenomenal free kick in the 29th minute. Only her third goal for Sydney FC in over 100 games. So huge moment for her to step up. And then Princess Ibeni, we think, scored a penalty. I don't think anyone actually saw it. Thanks a lot, Fox Sports. But in the 73rd minute, pretty sure it was a penalty. I
believe so.
I saw them celebrate. I saw her lining up for a penalty. What happened in between is a bit blurry, but she scored to make it 2-0 before, as I said before, future superstar for the Matildas, Kyra Cooney Cross, with a phenomenal goal in the 95th minute to bring Melbourne back into it, but almost just a consolation goal, really.
Yeah, just a little bit too late for them.
Yeah, a little bit too late. So that saw Sydney FC crown champions. I think it's 10 years since they last won the minor premiers plate for the W League, I think they were saying. It's been a long time. So huge congratulations to them. When you see how they started the season, it's amazing it came down to the final day of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Really. Well, seven or eight on the trot?
8 wins in a row to start the year, and they had to win it on the last day of the season. So, I'm guessing Ante Juric, the coach of Sydney FC, might not be impressed with that. But, you won the title. You did the job. Huge congratulations to Sydney FC. It was good to see a good number of Cove Sydney FC fans there behind the goals to celebrate with the girls after a win. Love seeing them get out to W League games. More fan bases really should. So the way it finished on the table was Sydney FC on top, Brisbane Roar just in second, followed by Melbourne Victory in third, and Canberra United coming into that fourth
scraping
spot.
Final series is going to be phenomenal.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be the best W League final series we've had for years. It starts with Sydney FC at home to Canberra United and finishes with Brisbane Roar at home to Melbourne Victory. I'm just going to put my predictions out now. It's going to be a Canberra versus Melbourne Victory final. I think they're the two informed teams. Brisbane loses a lot with Emily Gelnick and Claire Polkinghorne leaving. They're two huge players for both those respective side. Well, for Brisbane Roar. And Sydney FC, I just feel like to get that win last night to win the title was their goal. I think it's going to be a letdown game next week against Canberra, who looked really good against Sydney FC this week. I think Canberra will go into this one with a huge amount of confidence. They've got the goat up front. They've got a really good defensive line and a good midfield. I just think it's going to be a Canberra versus Melbourne Victory final.
It's going to be tough. Yeah, that's a good prediction, but I think Sydney will get over Canberra this time. I think they'll come over. I think it will definitely be a tight fixture.
Yep.
I'd say obviously one goal in it, or maybe even go to pens, but I do see Melbourne Victory beating Brisbane, so I think it will be a Big Blue final for the W League.
That's huge for the W League. If it goes to pens, I think Sydney FC will win the Sydney Canberra game. I think Jada Wyman is just an amazing goalkeeper. So, Michelle Heyman will definitely bury hers. When you look down the list, not a lot of notable penalty takers, whereas, with Sydney FC, Remy Simonson, Princess Ibeni, we think scored one this week. They got midfielders like Wheeler and Hawkesbury who can put penalties away. I think they'll have the advantage definitely going into a penalty shootout. So, but either way, this is going to be one hell of a week of finals football for the W League.
I would say get around it. If you want to watch something, this is it.
Yep. And that if it is a Big Blue final, like you predict, dude, that's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Huge for the A League. For the W League, sorry. Yeah, huge for
them. Huge for Australian sports.
Let's hope Fox Sports don't fuck up the coverage like they did last night, but, you know, man.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, I'm so keen.
There's nothing really much to add to fixtures, but I think we'll move on to this week's goal of the week.
Oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness!
Yeah, we have four contenders that I think. One of them I think only really scraped in there because that's what John Aloisi thinks was the goal of the week. But the first one I've got is Jamie McLaren's against the Western Sydney Wanderers. The fourth goal, got on the score sheet. Pretty well hit half volley.
Yeah, very well hit half volley, I would say.
I feel like just a hit and hope. Like, just hit as hard. You're up 3-1. You're not really trying to score a goal there. You're just, you know, let's put pile on the misery.
But yeah, it went in, so.
And top of the net. So it was a very good strike. The next one I've got, this one was what I thought was going to win it up until last night. Roy O'Donovan against Perth, the outside of the foot, volley touch. Beautifully lobbed Liam Reddy. Then we saw Teresa Pralias score that amazing free kick that then I thought was going to win goal of the week until Kyra Cooney Cross popped up in the 95th minute
with
the final
kick of the week, scores goal of the week.
Unbelievable, yeah. You can't look past her goal. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Amazing finish. Kyra Cooney Cross, congratulations. You are our goal of the week in the final round of the W League season. So, and right, like the last kick of the game of the W League season. So got in there just at the nick of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good goals, but I couldn't pick a goal of the week this week because my goal of the week was save of the week. So the goal denial of the week.
Yep.
And boy, was that phenomenal from the Adelaide keeper.
Yep, it got them 3 points.
Yeah, it did. So Paddy Wood, pull your head in. You need to be scoring that.
You need to finish that,
Finish your dinner. But I'm full credit to Gucci and goals. Like, that's an outstanding stop.
And he made the one on Bom Johan earlier on in that half as well. So he just had a phenomenal game, proven why we have some good goalkeepers coming through for the Olympics and the soccer.
We're breeding some goalkeepers.
Yeah, seems to be the best players that we have worldwide right now are goalkeepers. So not complaining. We have really good goalkeepers. So at least our defence will be kind of strong as opposed to what we've been in the past, which is really solid in attack. So
I mean, we've got a pretty good goal scorer at the moment in Jamie McLaren. So.
True, in very, very good form. So yes. And Aaron Moy is dominating in China. So, China. So hopefully that bodes well for...
World Cup qualifiers coming up.
World Cup qualifiers. Over in Kuwait. So, yeah, good future for the Socceroos. We have a lot of good young players coming through in the A-League this year. So, you know, both women's and men's national teams, there's a huge future for us. So it's good to see in Australian football.
But one player that won't be playing football much longer, and because he has retired, we'll get into our hot topics. Yeah, I'm a hot topic. Is the final farewell of Riley Dobson. A great career in the W League, winning 2 championships, or was it 3?
I think it was 3.
3.
3,
two
yeah.
with Newcastle?
1 with Newcastle, 2 with Melbourne City.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, 1 with Newcastle, 2 with Melbourne City. So a very all-round, well-done W League footballer. But yeah, she has retired from football in special circumstances.
Yep.
At the age of 28. Wonderful story, this. Oh, it's a wonderfully dreadful story, is what it is.
Yeah, so basically what it is, her now fiance, congratulations, they got engaged after that game this week. Matt Stoneham is undergoing his second battle with brain cancer. He's had the operation. He's currently going through radiation therapy at the moment. So wishing him nothing but good luck. I mean, he's beaten it before.
And they picked it up early again this time. But yeah, he's about to start his 12 months of intense chemotherapy.
Yep. So she's decided, you know, step away, focus on his recovery. And I think it's a huge thing to do. She's a quality footballer. If Melbourne had started her more games earlier on in the season, I think they'd be close to the finals. She's a captain Matilda. Like she said, 1 championship. She's a quality player. She's so quick. And to do what she's doing, huge admiration for her. She's obviously, like, not just a great footballer, but an absolute legend of a person. Congratulations on the engagement. It seems like all the other Melbourne City players knew what was going on after the game except for her. So well done to them for keeping the secret. But he got down on one knee after the game to propose to her. So congratulations to them. Congratulations, Riley, on a hell of a good career. It's a shame you're retiring. The quality of player you still are, but absolute massive respect for why you're doing it. Huge, huge legend of a person. Like, probably one of the best.
We here at the Circle and Rectangle Show wish you both nothing but the best.
Yeah.
It's a definitely tough time and a very, very hard decision to make as a professional footballer. But yeah, we wish you all the best in the coming months. Very touching story. Worldwide news.
Yeah, they were on Channel 10, Studio 10 show. Mm. Next up, Oprah, I'm hearing. So I look forward to, in the future, seeing the photos on Instagram of their wedding and seeing all the Melbourne City girls get around her. Obviously a great person, the friend she's made in the W League. So yeah, all the best for the future. hope everything works out. We're pulling for you here at the show. So, yeah, congratulations.
Yes, very much so. Now it's hard to move on from that.
I know. We should have ended the show with that, realistically. Like,
we've shot ourselves in the foot, but we'll move on to...
It's weird because we're going to move on to a positive topic at the moment for Nugget. Sydney FC, couple of years of dominance. Is this going to be the year that they possibly don't even make the finals?
Boy, I'm hoping so. But to be fair, I don't think we're going to make finals either at this rate. We just got thumped by the team that's going to win it. But
you got thumped by the team that's going to win it. That's the difference.
That doesn't matter. But look, seeing Sydney FC below us on the ladder, it's over, I think, 800 days now since they've won a derby.
And derby coming up.
Derby coming up at Bankwest. So that's going to be... and with full capacity crowds, I'm expecting a big one. That's going to be
huge.
That's
a sellout.
May the 1st, get around it. Probably the biggest sporting event in Sydney history. Who cares about the Rugby League Grand Final? No one gives a shit.
Sport in Australia.
Yeah.
The Sydney Derby is phenomenal. If you haven't seen it, check out Copper 90 Stories on the Sydney Derby. Great work by Ellie Mangin. It is easily... Buzz Rothfield, a Rugby League journalist, has said it is the biggest game in Australian sports on a calendar year. So get out to it. Get around it. It's amazing. Both fan bases, the RBB, the Red and Black Block, and the Cove, go all out for this one with the TIFOs. I think Wanderers are going to get them again. I think it's going to be even more years until Sydney FC... Days, not years, before Sydney
FC. No, we'll go years. I liked the first way you said it, years.
I just think this is the year Sydney slips off. Lafondra was huge to their title campaigns. He's gone now. They haven't been able to replace him. Bobo's not the same player that he was.
Redmayne slipping up.
Redmayne is becoming Wanderers Redmayne. But Vukovic is on the market. Can Sydney FC bring him in? But
Ryan Grant's not the same without the mullet.
Nope. That's facts. Straight up facts. He hasn't been the same since he shaved it off. He did it for a great cause. Raised a shit ton of money. So massive credit to him. But he's got to grow back real fast.
Yep.
They need it back to get them into the finals. Because without the mullet, they're not making finals. It's just...
And the only reason I basically at the moment really want Wanderers to win this derby is we'll then extend the record that Alex Bum-Yohan has never won a Sydney derby for either team. And it couldn't have happened to a better bloke.
I mean, great footballer, but, you know, it's often said in world football, winning a derby is more important than winning a title.
Yep.
He's won two titles, but I really feel like winning that derby would be more important.
I wouldn't be so spiteful if he didn't say he was going to the biggest club in Sydney. So,
well, I mean, he's not wrong.
Hey,
it's the biggest club in Australia at the moment.
When they've won a continental title, they can come and speak to me. Oh, my God.
They have. They've won the Oceania Champions League. Doesn't give a shit. Massive title. Way more prestigious than the AFC Champions League.
Name a second. Name another club that participates in the Oceania Football Cup.
Auckland City.
Grow up.
Bitches.
Grow up.
A constant fixture at the club, FIFA Club World Cup. So a
Super
really
City Fiji,
legend.
Let's go.
But nah, this is the rough year for them. And I know we have a few Sydney FC fans that listen to the show. Shout out Ash Williams, diehard Sydney FC fan and new listener. Mm. So thanks for coming on board, mate. But
you're a grub. Thanks
for listening. This could be a year where they don't make the finals, which would be huge. Defending champions don't make the finals. Going back to the first season title and second year not making the finals. So copped a bit of shit that year. I think they'll cop a bit of shit this year. Even in the Big Blue, where Melbourne Victory absolutely have no chance of making the finals, we'll still try to rub it into Sydney FC. So
I reckon coming off a draw with top of the table Central Coast, I think Victory's in very good form and we'll get the job done.
Mate, if Sydney FC lose the Big Blue at home to Melbourne Victory, Coker's job is at risk.
Gone. Get rid of him.
Not gone, but under a bit of pressure. They haven't been performing well in the league. Lose the Big Blue. That's where managers... Then they've got a Sydney Derby coming up. If they haven't turned their form around by that and they lose that, that's it. Full backing of the board, as you say in the business.
Brebner in is all I'm saying.
Brebner... Oh, my Brebner God. In. Jamie in.
No, get away.
Jamie in.
Oh, no, you're a grub.
So that's it. Sydney FC slipping.
Makes me smile.
Around.
Makes me very much
coming
smile.
Coming from the Shire, a lot of Sydney FC fans around here, so hopefully they can turn it on. I guess we're moving to Aussies abroad now, because it's been another positive week for the Aussies playing overseas.
Yes, very positive.
Particularly for one potentially future number... Well, I would say at the moment he should
be number one.
Mitch Langerak for Nagoya Grampus, Nugget, your J-League team.
Yep.
Second on the table behind, I think, Kawasaki Frontale,
who are easily the best team in Japan.
Oh, yeah, by far. Defending champions, just running away with it. He's actually had 5 clean sheets in a row now.
Five clean sheets in 6 games.
Yeah, he hasn't conceded a goal since the first game of the year.
And they...
So, a 2-1 win. They've still won the game. So, he is... And this coming off last year being the J-League goalkeeper of the year, he's continued his form. He's unbeatable. He has to be the number one. When Matt Ryan is sitting second fiddle to Birdlano at Arsenal, even though Arsenal fans think he should be the number one at the moment, Mitch Langerak's playing every week. He's playing amazing. If you watch their games, he is, like, just a machine. He's a robot. His distribution is phenomenal. His point-blank shot stopping is amazing. His command of the area is on fire. He should be the number one for the Socceroos going into these World Cup qualifiers, and I have no doubt.
Graham is very much a manager of picking on form.
Yep.
And like, if you're getting game time and you're in form, then you're basically in. And at the moment, that has to be Mitchell Angerak. Matty Ryan is still, don't get me wrong, a world-class goalkeeper, and a lot of English pundits agree with us here. But if you're not getting game time, you can't really be your country's number one.
You don't have your eye in. It's why Aaron Mooy left to come back to China, to play. He wanted regular game time, more minutes. It's why a lot of players have made that move over to Asia to get those minutes. Mm. So,
and the quality is still there. Like, J-League is still a very quality league. You've got a lot of players coming across from Brazil. Your Europeans are there. You've got Iniesta there at the moment.
Iniesta. Like, still a super, out injured at the moment, but still a phenomenal player. And I'm guessing we're going to see a few of the players from those bigger Chinese Super League clubs who are now, I don't know what the situation is, but not football clubs anymore. No. Might be just jumping over to Japan to finish the season before heading back to Europe. So you're going to get a lot more quality coming into that J-League. And it already has quality. The Japanese players are just technically some of the best.
I know we're an A-League topic show and not really a...
This is Aussies Abroad.
Aussies Abroad thing, but Japan did just win a World Cup qualifier 14-0.
14-0. Relax, guys. Relax. But yeah, he's killing it. Mitchell Angerak. Big decisions for Graham Arnold coming into those World Cup qualifiers, but it seems clear.
Someone else that's killing it at the moment is Samantha Kerr.
Best footballer in the world.
Correct.
By far. 2 goals against Villa, an assist against Everton. Her combination with Kirby up front for Chelsea is just deadly. And then 2 goals over 2 legs in the Champions League against Wolfsburg.
Who are arguably one of the better women's teams in world football. I'd rank them up there with Lyon, who are currently Champions League champions.
Yep.
They're 5 in a row, I think, Lyon. And Wolfsburg also had a 5 in a row run in the early 2000s. Mid to late 2000s, sorry. As a club, Wolfsburg generally pull in some of the best players in women's football, and Chelsea are dominating them through Samantha Kerr up front.
Yep, 2-1 in the first leg in Wolfsburg, then 3-0 in the second, and Sam Kerr scoring in both. Her combination with her strike partner Kirby is big. They're talking about, they're putting it up there with the likes of, you know, Sergio Aguero and Edin Dzeko.
That's got to be the worst comparison I've ever heard.
What? No, just like in goals per game, like getting goals.
Okay.
Dzeko down to Aguero, and like Sam Kerr, every time she's looking for a pass in the box, it's going to Kirby. She got what we call in ice hockey, a second assist. She passed it in to Kirby, who laid it off for another goal in that Everton game.
In football, no one cares.
I know, but it was her beautiful work down the right-hand side that set the goal. So she is easily, like a lot of people say, it's Megan Rapinoe from the USA. Not a fucking chance, man. What has she done? She's not playing in Europe. She's not playing against the best clubs in the world. It's Sam Kerr, and there isn't any doubt. Sam Kerr is the best. I'd put her up there with that Messi Ronaldo combination. If she continues with this form, she will be up there as one of the greatest footballers to ever do it.
Yeah,
she's ours. She's a material.
Get around
she's
it.
An Aussie. She's Perth Glory. Not as big a deal as the Perth Glory bit, but you know, she's ours. She's a Matilda. It's just great to see Aussies dominate. You've also got Caitlin Ford, who scored 3 goals against Tottenham in the North London derby. God, that's got to suck for Tottenham fans. Can't win in the Premier League. Can't win in the WSL.
Who'd support Tottenham?
Mate, I don't know. But that's relevant because Matt Ryan plays for Arsenal.
So we keep
it relevant here. I'm sure I can make a link to Australia and Sheffield United.
No, you
point,
won't. Shut up. No one. Shut up.
Any other Aussies that are dominating overseas? I know Aaron Moy's doing pretty good things in the Super League. He's a massive reason why his side are title contenders this year.
Besides the one we talked about last week, the Cum Dog, he's doing well still. So
Cum Dog,
Boyle.
Still
Martin
playing
Boyle,
good.
Still doing well.
Boyle, that's it, scoring for Hibs.
Jackson Irvine's at Hibs now as well, isn't he?
He's at Hibs as well, And he's a cult phenomenon over there. Mate, the Aussies, we're starting to come back to that sort of golden generation. We got a lot of good players. I know Alex Gersbach is over in Belgium?
It's either Belgium or Holland. Netherlands, sorry. I think he's in the Netherlands.
It might be Netherlands. I know he left to go to Belgium when he left Sydney, but that was like 4 or 5 years ago now, so he's probably moved on. But I know
we've also got Awa Mabil, the forgotten one, Awa Mabil, Midtjylland in...
good pronunciation. I think you got it right.
I think I did. I can't remember where it's from, though. Norway?
No, not Norway. It's Switzerland, I think.
That's not Swiss. Definitely not Swiss.
It's not Austria. It's not Belgium.
I swear it's Norwegian.
It's definitely not Norwegian.
That definitely sounds like a Norwegian name.
The big clubs in Norway are Molde, Viking, not really Viking.
I'd say Midtjylland.
Nah, it's not. They're definitely not. I'll open up the Football Manager later just to confirm, but
it's definitely not Switzerland. I can guarantee it's not Swiss.
100% not.
I guarantee.
FC.
I swear it's Norwegian.
Football Club, there it is. Didn't have to type the whole thing because I wouldn't have been able to spell it.
It's so MJ, that's and that's all you need.
Denmark, they're fucking Denmark.
Danish.
Yeah.
See, that's Scandinavian. Not
it's not
Swiss.
Norway, but it's not Norway.
Scandinavian.
But... Oh, good. I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Very much.
Just for AWM Mobile.
Yeah, AWM Mobile. Sorry. Hey, he's an Australian Champions League goal scorer.
And we've also got another player in the J League. God, his name is escaping me.
Well, Thomas Deng's in the J-League.
Deng, that's it. Thomas Deng in the J-League. He's also playing really well in the J-League.
So is Adam Taggart in Korea.
Always. He was his Golden Boot winner last year?
I think he came second. He was top of the table. I think he had 25 goals or something.
But like, banging in goals. So we got a good squad heading into these tough decisions for Graham Arnold in the next few months.
I don't envy the man.
No. World Cup qualifiers, Oli Roos squad, all the young under-21, under-23 players in Australia absolutely dominating. Then you've got players playing around the world dominating. Like, it's a good time to be an Australian football fan. I mean, Let's not kid ourselves. This is good stuff. This is 2006 era stuff. Like, we're going to a World Cup with good players. So.
And like, you should get around it now because in two years' time, we do host the Women's World Cup.
Absolutely.
With the stadiums announced today.
Yep. So we've got stadiums in Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, we are co-hosting with New Zealand. Brothers from across the Dutch.
It's totally cool. It's a good thing. It's good that we continue that sort of partnership, keep ourselves strong, because Australian football being strong helps New Zealand football being strong, and that's basically what we want. We just want strong football around the world. And, you know, you've not only got the Wellington Phoenix playing good in the A-League, but you've got Auckland City, who are always at the Club World Cup. The All Whites have had a pretty good time of it in the last few World Cup qualifying campaigns.
They had a pretty decent, like, I know they got knocked out in the group stage, but they played well in the, three draws or something.
Yeah, three draws. In a tough group. So them being good is good for Australian football because, you know, we have a representative from New Zealand in Australia. So, and, you know, that rivalry is always good. You don't want to be constantly beaten down in your neighbours. You want it to be strong. But so in alphabetical order, they've given us the stadiums will be in Adelaide at Hindmarsh Stadium, in Auckland at Eden Park, Brisbane.
God. You want to try the Māori pronunciation of that, please?
Yeah, I mean, Tamaki Makaurau, Eden Park. I mean, like, the most historic ground in New Zealand. You got Brisbane. I think I can get this right. Brisbane Stadium. Dunedin.
Close, very close.
Otapotti in Dunedin Stadium. Hamilton. Kirikiri Karawa in Waikato Stadium, home of the Chiefs. Melbourne, you've got, we all know it as Melbourne Rectangular Stadium.
Amy Park.
Yep. Perth, at the Perth Rectangular Stadium. I mean, that could be a few.
Isn't it NAB Stadium?
I'm pretty sure it's NIB Stadium still.
I would assume it'd be NIB.
It's where Perth Glory play. It's where the Shed sing that beautiful, beautiful chant towards goalkeepers every time they take a book.
Yep.
God, love it, mate. Take me back. And in Sydney, we've got Stadium Australia, Olympic Park, and the Sydney Football Stadium, currently under construction, so they better get their ass into gear.
You might want to finish that Qatar.
Yeah. And in Wellington, I don't want to do the Kiwi pronunciations because this one's a really tough one. Atara. At the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I'm looking at there's a... Well, the first part was pretty good. Tuonga Nui Na Atara.
You got that absolutely amazingly, so that was perfect. You should have fucking done this.
I think it's like the only Kiwi pronunciation I know how to do.
I think I got the other ones pretty good, so not bad. I'm pretty happy with that. If you are a Wellington Phoenix fan or a Kiwi in general, reach out and...
Let us know how he's butchered it, yeah.
Some really amazing stadiums. I'm glad Adelaide get one. They deserve it. We talked about it before coming on. Record crowd in the W League. They get around women's sports. And it's a beautiful stadium. It's one of the stadiums up there with Sunshine Coast Stadium that I want to go and watch a game this year.
Yeah.
Well,
and
it's not this
the
year,
big,
at, but...
The big miss that everyone seems to be complaining about in this situation is mainly Melbournians complaining about it. And grow up, you had COVID. Shut up.
No one cares.
We are not playing football at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. No, it's a big stadium and it's a wonderful stadium. I've been there several times. It's a great venue.
Yep.
For oval sports.
Yes. Cricket, AFL.
That's it. Like, I mean, yeah, it was a massive crowd when Real Madrid played out here.
But I'll say, I was at those games. It wasn't a great atmosphere.
It's too big.
You're so fucking far away. Ronaldo was missing shots over the crossbar and they weren't even reaching the grandstand. Like, you're just too far away.
Yeah, they're massive crowds generally for a lot of sports, but... In a World Cup, you don't want to be sitting 100 metres away from the actual action.
You don't want to have 50,000 empty seats. Even though it will be at the top, you just... Amy Park is perfect for football. It is a football ground. The Matildas are going to love playing there. Teams around the world are going to love playing there. I'm sorry, Melbourne, but you just don't have rectangular stadiums.
Maybe if you got around some rectangular sports, we'd agree with you.
Yeah. Build a stadium for Western United out West Melbourne. Build one out there. Because, I mean, let's face it, Marvel Stadium's trash to watch football at. The MCG would be god awful to watch football. It's great for AFL, been there for AFL, but I've been there for AFL and I've been there for soccer, football. It's just not a football stadium. I'm sorry. It's just not. Get over yourselves. I mean, we're not hosting it at the SCG up here. I mean, there's a reason why Sydney FC aren't playing home games at the SCG, because it's trash to watch football at. Go to Nostrada. It's a smaller stadium.
I'd say it's also expensive. So.
Yeah, but they could have worked out a deal with the Trust. Surely the Trust aren't that big of douchebags.
But yeah. I'll tell you what, Sydney Football Stadium's going to be fantastic once it's done.
Once it's done. Let's hope it's done in time. Otherwise, if it's not, you got Bankwest Stadium.
Yeah, that's where I'm angry.
They should be playing at Bankwest. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
That has to be... I reckon behind... the only rectangular stadium I think is better than Bankwest is Suncorp.
Yep.
I think Suncorp is the premier rectangular sports stadium in Australia, followed up by Bankwest and Amy Park.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't understand how... I feel like Stadium Australia should have been one, but for the final. That's where you play the final. You've got to play group stage games and other finals at Bankwest. It's the, like you said, the second best stadium in the country. Why are we not playing World Cup games there? Like, it's amazing. Like, it's just beyond me.
I was going to say, to be fair, that like, you don't want to really go to Parramatta. It's not really a showcase for the rest of the world. But neither's Homebush.
Public transport to get to Parramatta Stadium is 10 times better than getting to Homebush.
Yeah, Homebush, you have to go to Lidcombe and then change or whatever it is.
Yeah, and it's one line. The trains are packed. They're only usually... there'll be 8 cars for a major event, I think. But
no, they generally are.
Bankwest is where it's at. It's, I don't want to say it, but it feels like the heart of football in Sydney right now.
It is the heart of football, Jamie.
That's where you want to play games, like, realistically. I mean, Stadium Australia should have been a venue, but purely for the final. I'd be fuming if I was the owners of Parramatta Rectangular Stadium. I don't even know if that's what it's called.
It would just be called Parramatta Stadium, because there's no other, like, oval stadium in Para.
Wouldn't it be Cumberland Oval? Cumberland Oval. You know what it used to be called?
Probably.
I don't know, but it got snubbed.
Bring back Pertec.
It was a good stadium, man.
The Hill with the RBB. Oh.
I've been there to watch Sydney FC Champions League games, Sydney derbies. It was small. There wasn't a massive capacity, but God, it was a massive atmosphere.
Huge.
Like, it doesn't get much better. Huge. But yeah, those are the grounds. I look forward to seeing football played at like the likes of Eden Park and Dunedin. That's going to be awesome. I mean, we've talked about rectangular state. Wellington is technically a rectangular ground because it's where rugby is massive over there, but you're still so far away. But we'll see what they do. It's going to be good to see. I hope the New Zealand fans get around their girls. They got a really good team. Some really good players playing in the W League this year. I mean, Liv Chances comes to mind first up, but they've also got players playing abroad. So it's going to be a great World Cup. I can't wait. Yeah. I'm going to go to as many games as possible. I'm going to try and go to different states, try to get to Adelaide to watch it at Cooper Stadium.
Hindmarsh Stadium, no Cooper.
Sorry, Hindmarsh, if FIFA's listening. Hindmarsh, sorry. Sorry, my lord. I don't care who's playing. I just want to go see as many games as possible. Want to see England play. Absolutely want to see the Matildas play. I guess I'll go and see the US play. I mean, apparently they're okay. So,
reigning champions?
No.
Surely they won the last one.
Did they win the last one? I thought they got beat.
I swear they did, because Megan Rapinoe did the the Randy Orton celebration.
Yeah. True. She's a not the best player in the world. And I legitimately think we had a chance to win that World Cup. We were thereabouts in the last World Cup. It's at home. We have such an amazing squad with so many good young girls coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it. Let's have it.
Major trophy coming our way. Prepare that cabinet.
At home. We're going to be World Cup winners.
We generally play really well at tournaments at home. Just saying.
1-1. Just saying.
I was at that final.
But no, we have that one last topic that we talked about. Do we want to discuss it? Because, you know, puts us at risk of getting certain people to come on the show in the future. It was god-awful, and we have touched on it throughout the show, but it's just been a running theme of their coverage throughout the year.
It's time for Jamie's Spray.
I think you've thrown it out to the world. look, it was pretty ordinary, don't get me wrong. And it's not, unfortunately, it's not the first time it's happened this year either. And
nope.
Considering how much money people are spending on KO and watching these events,
yep.
You've
and Foxtel,
surely got to do better.
Like, I know they paid a lot less than they usually pay for these rights, but put some freaking effort in. This is the world game. This is football in Australia. We want this game to grow. I know Foxtel generally doesn't care about soccer. Then don't bid for it and let someone like Optus Sport, who loves football and does it amazingly well, let them take it.
I mean, their first year was pretty ordinary, though, don't get me wrong.
But now they are...
Premier.
That they give them every football rights to every league. Spain, Italy, Australia, just give them everything because they do it right. They do the shows right. They do the highlight packages right. Optus Sport is where you want to be is football coverage. I know Sportsflix a good chance of getting it. Before I say anything, I'm going to give them a chance to prove their worth. If they do get it, it's just going to be, more money on subscriptions for sports for myself. But, you know, I love sport and I love football. So if I have to get Optus, Fox, because, I mean, my English Premier League team will not be an English Premier League team next year, just to watch them play, I'll do it because I love sport. But I'd really like for Optus just to have everything. EFL, Premier League, J League, Chinese Super League, if it still exists, K League, everything. Just give them everything. Italy, Germany, everything. Just, they do everything perfectly. Make them an entity. But
did you not want to mention the A-League in any of those?
Didn't I mention the A-League?
No, you said everything but the A-League. Give them every other league but the A-League, where Fox Sports can continue to ruin my experience.
No, they've had their chance. It's time for Adam Peacock, Bozza, to join Simon Hill, not part-time, but full-time at Optus Sports, and give the A-League football, give Australian football the coverage it truly freaking deserves, because not just in the W League, but in the A-League this year, they've had some monumental blow-ups. They tend to cheap out at smaller stadiums and only have two or three camera angles. So when a VAR decision comes down, you don't get the full experience of looking at every different angle to see, make the actual correct call. Like, how can we have VAR when you don't have like enough camera angles to make a decision? They've just, yeah, really cheaped out this year, and it's really disappointing because
Les Murray would be filthy.
Yeah, they used to care about football. You know, they used to, but it doesn't seem like they care as much anymore. And I love Adam Peacock. I love Bozza. I love Zapponi. Time to join up to sport. Simon Hill come back to up to sport. And let's do it right. Let's do the A-League right. That's someone who actually cares about football. Because, yeah, it doesn't seem Fox Sports do. I mean, a pinnacle game to decide the title. And it freezes as the penalty is being taken. Like, I mean, and that, what was that game? I think it was an Adelaide game where that random dude...
Was it Adelaide-Melbourne?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck was that? Like, I don't know. I just, like, just give football to someone who actually wants to do it and will give it the respect it deserves.
Is this sport. Is this a very mild Jamie Spray?
It is. It is. Do you want to put Jamie Spray at the start of it?
Like, I think I'm, like, very mild.
I mean, we weren't even going to talk about this, but now I'm going. Like, I just... Yeah. It's embarrassing. Like, if people around the world are watching this, and they're watching that game last night, you know, two big clubs, big rivals, a key moment to put Sydney up 2-0, and we think she scored the penalty, but no one truly... I mean, you have the highlights package. She did, but, you know, if you don't see the highlights package, you just assume, hey, maybe the keeper made a great save and she tapped it in on the rebound, but you don't know because they couldn't get the coverage right. Like, I don't know. It's just really frustrating. Give it to Optus Sports. Sports Flick, Michael Turner, I love you guys, but I can't afford this many subscriptions. There's so much money on sport.
And now we've got Jamie's Spray subscriptions.
Yeah. No, I'm happy to pay. It's going to be close to $100. If Sports Flick gets the right to the A-League and W-League, it's going to be like $100 a month next year. So whatever. I mean, technically I won't eat up this sport, but, you know, I just love football, and I have a lot of time on my hands overnights, so I need something to do, and that's football. But I guess that was Jamie's Spray.
Yeah, I'd say so. Very mild version. Impromptu Jamie's...
I know you share my opinion.
Oh, 100%.
Like, incompetence,
like. The amount of times I get so pissed off with Fox Sports coverage is ridiculous.
Give it some sort of effort. I mean, the amount of camera angles they have for the NRL. I know it's the third biggest sport in Australia, but...
No, but... Grassroots-wise, it's football.
So it's football, yeah.
Football,
and then netball.
Netball, cricket are the three biggest grassroots sports in Australia, and we can't give the professional game the coverage it fucking deserves.
Yeah, you want to tap into a market that's a sleeping giant? Do football better. Like, just do it better. SBS needs more games. Try and get a game on Channel 9 or something like that. Not this Stan TV bullshit subscription service for sport. Don't be rugby. Rugby's dying, and I'm a rugby fan.
Rugby is the elitists.
Yeah, it's the North Shore elitists. But like,
rugby league is for boneheads.
AFL is for pretentious people.
Yep.
Football is for everybody.
Everyone plays football.
Yeah. Like you said, the grassroots numbers are unlike anything in Australia. You know, netball's next, and you don't do netball with enough respect.
Netball needs the respect it deserves.
Yeah. So, I mean, just do it right. And I know they bitch and whinge about TV ratings, but hey, you know,
because
you don't
do the coverage right.
Yeah, you don't give it any respect. You put it on back channels, and you got this stupid replay of an NRL game from 30 years ago on the main channel. Like, give it the respect it deserves. The audience will grow. Then, you know, give the league the money, like the right money, and they can bring in actual big name stars to, or develop the Australians that we've got coming through at the moment. Like, just do it right, and the audience will come.
Remember back in the day when it was on, there was a free-to-air game a week on SBS?
I think there still is, isn't there?
I don't know, but I pay a subscription now, so I really don't know. But that was the time of my life.
Yeah, the SBS game was amazing. Lucy Zelli's commentating.
Les Murray was there.
Oh, man. See, that's why. One of the gods of Australian football is sadly passed, but, you know, just need to do it better. Give a free to air. Give it to Channel 10. I know no one that watches Channel 10, but, hey, maybe it might grow their audience too.
Just do better. If you do better, people will watch it.
Yeah, if you actually care about what you're doing, the people will come. It is the sleeping giant.
Just like this podcast.
We are the A-League TV rights of sleeping the podcasting giant. World. The sleeping giant. I mean, the grassroots to the world game. If you actually do a proper job covering it, the fans will come. The world audience will grow. Rugby league's never going to be an international sport. But if we do the A-League right, it can be an international... I mean, there's already people that watch it in England and America. You see comments on the posts from the admins all the time.
It's one of the biggest watched sports in Israel at the moment, thanks to Tomo Hemed.
Thank you, Tomo Hemed. We apologise at the start, but, you know, just do it right.
Like you bring in those international stars, people watch.
Yeah. And, I mean, you don't need the international stars this year. We have Australian homegrown stars that are freaking killing it. Stefan Mork, Dylan Wenzel-Halls, Neuenhoff, Daniel Margush, Daniel Wilmering from the Wanderers. Like, we have Australian stars.
Jamie McLaren.
Not a young player, but he's a superstar in his own right. Like, come on. Like, do it. Just do it right, Fox Sports. Pull your fucking head in. Get the coverage right. I mean, people like Adam Peacock, Bozard, love this sport. Pay them some respect and actually put the sport on a pedestal. Don't just put it as some background thing, like something on the ESPN Ocho. Give football the respect we fucking deserve in the international game. That's a big KO advertising.
That's a little bit more Jamie Spray. That's what I like to hear.
That's the way Fox Sports treat football, but like it's some fucking ESPN, like some sort of rolling a cheese down a fucking hill in England.
That's
like,
the give it some respect. You give that the respect it deserves. The cheese roll is a national treasure.
It's not football. We're better than that amazing sport. It's football. It's the international game. What are they going to do for the World Cup? Just not give it a second glance?
No, like, three cameras and no VAR.
It's why Qatar got the men's World Cup rights, really. It's your fault, Fox Sports.
No, I don't think
it's... And corruption in FIFA.
Yeah,
corruption in FIFA.
Corruption. Very minimal Fox Sports.
True. It's more corruption and, you know, we talked about it last week on the show about the Qatar World Cup and what a joke that is. And please, Norway, boycott the Qatar World Cup. It would be fucking amazing if the likes of Erling Haaland and Sander Berge do not go to the World Cup because of the scumbags that are putting it on. But
they have to make it there first.
They'll get there.
Erling Haaland. They've lost. They're lost again.
It doesn't matter. Erling Haaland.
It's Australian, isn't he? Surely.
I mean, some of the biggest name players in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo, technically could be qualified as an Australian.
Almost. So. The rest of his family's here.
Yep. God knows how many Croatian players could have played for Australia and vice versa, let's be honest. So, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, we could have almost had one of the biggest Italian superstars in Christian Vieri.
Christian Vieri, yeah.
His brother
born
played
in
for
Australia.
His they were both born there in Lee.
In Melbourne.
In Melbourne, was it? I swear they were born
in Italy,
but they went
grew
to
up
Prairie
in
Wood.
Melbourne.
Yeah, Prairie Wood.
So,
we had his brother. We just didn't get the better one.
Yep. Didn't get the absolute superstar goal scoring machine.
Yeah,
so.
Unfortunate. No disrespect, but oh well, we move on.
I mean, he knows.
Like, everyone knows.
Let's be honest.
Like, everyone knows there's a favourite in the family. I mean, I'm the favourite in mine. Jamie's not the favourite in his.
I'm not even in mine anymore. So, I am the favourite in my in-laws' family, but so... Let's shout out Mal, if you're listening
Is he?
I hope so.
Love you, Mal.
He listened to me on the radio back in the day, so hopefully he's listening to this podcast.
He better be.
No interest in football at all. But yeah, that was Jamie Spray. An impromptu,
again,
unplanned one.
We've now ended Jamie Spray three times now.
Do I want to get onto April Fool's Day?
No.
As we record this?
No.
No. Just fuck it, stupid day. Stop toying with my emotions, you jerks. See, sometimes I think the show is at its best and we just talk random shit. We just go from segment to segment, unplanned. Just, you know. From there, we went from Fox Sports' coverage, somehow back to the FIFA Women's World Cup, a little bit onto Qatar 2022, Norway, and then bringing it all back around to Fox Sports' terrible coverage. So, not bad.
This place is a shambles.
Again, Adam Peacock, we love you. Bozza, we love you. Thank you for supporting the show. we're going to get you on eventually. We just kind of want to have a bigger audience before we get you on. We don't want to burn your interview on an episode that gets not as many listeners.
That we deserve. That you deserve.
Yeah. That you deserve, yeah. Could you make our audience grow massively? Yes, you could, but we don't want to take that chance. No. We want to make sure we've already got the established audience.
We're not going to piggyback off their major stars like Kylie Adno or Adam Peacock or Mark Bosnich.
Yep, Connor O'Toole.
Connor O'Toole, massive star.
Michael Roos, friend of the show. Looking forward to him being back in action for Northbridge this week, although maybe a 2-week suspension. So
probably 2 weeks. Possibly may not happen. Pretty ordinary challenge, Michael.
Wasn't a great one, Mike, but we still love you. You're still friend of the show. So, and I do want to get him on again sometime soon because he's made his starting debut now. So more to talk about. But yeah, we will have hopefully Adam Peacock and Bozza on the show in the future. And I'd also, honestly, right now, my dream guess, Mitch Duke, Coxie from the Wanderers.
Same time.
Together. Yep. They just seem like, if you followed them on Instagram, do yourself a favor, do it, because their shenanigans as living together is the best. Mm-hmm. It's such a good friendship, and you can see why they're becoming better players on the pitch for it. So that's a reason why I think the Wanderers will finish above Sydney FC and in the finals. So,
well, as long as Central Coast stay there, I don't have to eat a hat.
Yeah. What hat are you going to eat?
We'll work on it.
I mean, you could eat that hat that Booth was supposed to eat from a previous podcast.
No,
I don't know where it is, but I can find it. All right. That's it for us this week's show. Good show. I actually had a lot of fun doing this one. Plenty to talk about, you know, so it was always going to be a good show.
Easter break this weekend. Very good.
Yep, enjoy your Easter.
Always.
9 games in the A-League.
No one's working, so you got stuff to watch.
Some of us are working.
Sounds like a you problem.
Sounds like a me problem, yeah. But yeah, enjoy the football this weekend. Try get out to support your NPL teams. Southo at home to Blacktown City this week. That was also my NPL game of the week.
Yeah, you didn't go through your NPL game of the week, which was what, Southern Mount Druitt or something like that?
Southern Mount Druitt. Sutherland getting their first win at home in front of a massive crowd. 4-1. We have friends that used to play for Mount Druitt. I have a coach who is at Mount Druitt at the moment. So unfortunate for them, but great performance for Sutherland. Unlucky for Mark Warren, former Sydney FC player, and Tarek Elrich, former Newcastle Wanderers, Adelaide. Lots of teams player. They play for Mount Druitt. But great game, actually. Plenty of good goals. James Andrews from Sutherland getting a hat-trick. Coxie getting a goal and an assist. So just a good game. Really enjoyable. Shout-out to the Sydney United Marconi game. Marconi knocking Sydney FC's undefeated run off with a 2-0 win. I really only can talk about New South Wales games because that's what's on NPL TV. So NPL Victoria, sort your shit out. Get on NPL TV. I want to see South Melbourne games. Mm-hmm. I want to see Hardaberg games. I want to see Melbourne Croatia games.
Forest
I want to watch
Green.
The big names. Forest Green, Bentley Rovers. I want to see these teams play. I want to watch them on TV. I can't get to the games at the moment. Sort your shit out. Just be on NPL TV, mate.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Get around. NPL TV does it better than Fox Sports.
All right, I wouldn't go that far. One camera angle, one commentator that often cuts out a lot isn't better than Fox Sports. It's close.
Debatable.
But
very debatable.
They need more mics around the ground because you need to hear the fans cheering when their team score goals because you can't really hear it much at the moment. But it is still really good. NPL Victoria, sort your shit out. NPL WA, you too. Sort it out. But
have a safe Easter break. Careful on the roads
enjoy
out
it.
There.
Eat plenty of chocolate.
Always.
I know I will be.
Yep.
But yeah, enjoy your weekend to football. Try and get out to a game. Enjoy the A-League. Enjoy the W-League finals. That's probably must watch for me, especially that Sydney FC Canberra game. Yeah, that's it for me. Enjoy your Easter. Remember what it's all about, and chocolate.
And, it's always about chocolate.
Always about chocolate. Can't wait to tuck into some Red Tulip bunnies.
Please, link bunnies, bruv.
No. You need to Red Tulip in the fridge. That's where it's at. Red Tulip. I mean, better than Cadbury. Let's face it. Cadbury's number 3 on the tier of chocolates. Look, Lindt's good normally, but when it comes to bunnies, Red Tulip one time a year, their bunnies are the best. So just try it. I'm saying, just try it. I don't want to force it down your throat, but I will.
That's not. You don't have my consent.
Well, you know what? When Red Tulip is sponsoring the show, come Easter time next year, then I'll have your consent.
All right, fair enough.
But just as always, enjoy your Easter weekend and bye.
Why can't I have Les Murray back and swap him for you? Thanks for tuning in for this week's episode of the Circle in Rectangle Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you want to hit us up on our socials, they are The Circle and Rectangle Show on both Facebook and Instagram. Drop us an email, cinrshow@gmail.com, or hit us up on our Twitter @cinrshow. See you all next week.